Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
One,
two,
three,
four,
five,
six,
seven,
eight.
Okay, see, I think we're good now.
That was good. Just gotta believe.
Gotta do what? Gotta do what?
Gotta believe. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. All right, here we go. My name is Justin McRoy, and I know the best game of the week.
Hi, I'm Griffin McRoy, and I believe in a thing called video games.
Hi, I'm Chris Plant, and I have the best pig game.
My name is Russ Frustick, and,
Really?
That's great, yeah? So, a couple things, just real quick, because we're like 15 seconds in, and already things are just falling apart. Chris Plant, are you setting the bar so low for yourself that you just want to have the best pig base, the best porcine game?
That it's a really good pig game. There's a history of games involving pigs.
Name three.
Angry Birds.
Yeah, the biggest game that is available.
Battletoads.
Okay.
You are obviously
delaying until you can think of two other games that have.
No,
pigs.
No. What the game where you roll the pigs and then like some of them land on their backs and
pass
some
the
of
pigs.
Them
Tomba.
Pass the pig. Yeah.
Sure. Oh, you're thinking of Tomba 2.
Tomba 2.
Yeah.
Is good.
Sure. So there's like four games.
Every week on the Besties, we talk about the new releases or at least the new-ish releases. Pit them against each other in Mortal Kombat to see which one comes out on top. At the end of that process, we will pit that game against our current reigning champion. Currently, that number one game is Journey. Russ Frustick, why is Journey the best game of the year?
So Journey allows people to work together and cooperate without using vocal communication, which could theoretically mean that one person from one warring nation could befriend someone from another warring nation and fuse a lifelong bond, which would yield world peace.
Okay.
I am so sick of hearing that explanation.
Should we mention the outstanding policy regarding Journey?
Yeah.
Right now?
How long does Journey have to actually cure the Middle East?
This show and then the next show. And if it doesn't do it by then, what just de facto, whatever wins next show is taking.
But maybe, who knows? Maybe this show we're going to have a Cracker Jack winner. Griffin, who is going to be pitching first this week?
I forget to come up with these every week. Did you guys know that?
Oh no. This week it's a game most related to pigs.
Okay. So who? I think my game has a gorilla in it, and that's like a. That's like a pig that like walks on its knuckles and also
has like
hair.
A hairy pig.
Like a hairy.
I have a squirrel.
Okay, Justin, what kind of?
Mine's not a game.
All right, so
my game has a pig in it.
Let's go plant me Frustick, Justin.
Okay, sounds
that
good.
Sounds good. Okay, so do you have me for time, Justin?
Oh, I'm so ready.
Okay, so I'm gonna read the description of Hambo on the App Store. Hambo, the war hero, needs help rescuing his best friend, Bacon, from the enemy's evil clutches. Make use of your deadly arsenal and destroy those who dare to oppose Hambo on his noble rescue mission. I have the feeling that everyone is enticed by that little description and the 99-cent price tag that hangs above it. Hambo is kind of like Angry Birds, except for there are no birds. There's just a pig. And that pig, he has a pistol. He has weapons, Uzis. I think he has a bazooka later on. and he uses these weapons to shoot other pigs. And when you shoot the pigs, they explode into little adorable deli-packed meat.
Will the gentleman yield the floor?
Yes.
This doesn't sound a good goddamn thing like Angry Birds.
It's got a pig in it, though.
It has one. Things that are like Angry Birds. One, it has a pig in it. Two, you can buy it on the iTunes App Store.
Oh, my God.
Vowels. Vowels.
Three, there are objects that are propelled via physics to take
like
out
bullets?
Targets.
Oh, man, this new Call of Duty is so much like Angry Birds. It has objects traveling through space.
Its objects are acted on by physics.
Good sirs. Four, there's a star system. So if you do very well, you could get three stars. Damn
it. You got me there.
Number five, Game Center support.
Okay.
So I'm not really getting a good handle on like why this game is anything. So you shoot stuff.
Well, here is the
fun
thing.
Is it like an action game?
Guys, I get your skepticism because
I'm not skeptical. I just have
no
idea.
We're not skeptical anymore.
I was. So.
Oh,
okay. There's my time.
Awkward.
So no, don't worry. I'll give you a little bit more to I can tell you're excited. So
I just want to understand. Is it an action game?
Well, it starts out very, very simple. You point on the screen where you would like to fire the bullet, and then you hit the fire bullet button, and you do it.
Slow down. I've only been playing video games for 30 years. You're going to have to explain. You point the gun at the things you want to shoot, and then you press the shoot button.
This may or may not be the first 20 levels. But
why would
after
you
this,
find this interesting?
There are puzzles.
If my nanny saw you playing this game, she would dump a package of Gamer Grub on your head and throw you in a toilet.
No. But after this, there are levels where, like, there are puzzles. So maybe you, like, you shoot the ice out from underneath you, and then you go sliding down a ramp, and then you shoot pigs while you're sliding. So it has a John Woo vibe. Did I mention there are downloadable costumes?
Can I mention the John Woo vibe?
You know, you could have picked Max Payne.
Did I mention
actually has a John Woo vibe?
There, you can dress as Kratos.
Max Pork.
You can
go away. Go home with that.
You can dress as. Wait, I'll read some of these
games.
Oh, great! Oh, God, I'm trembling
loading,
with excitement.
Here, the loading screen. Guess what it is.
Tell me more about the loading screens. Tell me about the worst part of every game in your game that sounds already pretty bad.
Here's some of the characters. Hog of War.
Oh, Jesus.
Pig in Black.
You know, I've never been a fan of litigious publishers going after, like, a small indie dev until now.
Yeah,
publishers, please crush this game into oblivion.
No, Russ, there's one that looks like Sub-Zero. Can you guess what his name is?
Ham Zero.
It's cold ham. Cold ham.
That doesn't even make sense.
There's one that looks like a Power Ranger.
Cold cuts would have been funny.
This one that looks like a Power Ranger is pork Ranger. The one that looks like a Santa Claus.
How much time are we gonna give him?
I'm gonna let him finish.
His name is Santa.
His name is Santa. There's one that looks like he's a Spartan. His name is King Hambonidas.
Hey, Chris, just a warning. Uh-huh. If the end of this list isn't muffled by the sound of a pistol barrel entering your mouth and isn't punctuated by a gunshot, I'm going to kick you off the show. So just keep on going with the list, however.
Wait.
That's a little extreme, but this is seppuku worthy.
Yeah.
There is one that looks like Justin Bieber. Except for he has a beaver tail. All
right.
And his name is Just a Beaver.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, so that's been our podcast forever.
Okay.
Go listen to Giant Bomb.
You know what I'm done with?
What?
Other than Chris Plant, his whole scene. Like, ironic meat comedy in games. I'm done with it, guys.
Is that really a common scenario?
Do you think this is ironic? I think this is pretty unironic.
When you
shoot
a pig and it turns into bacon, I'm done. Guy, I'm sick. Like, when did it happen? That it was like, hey, guys, bacon. Get it?
But Plant is right, though. If I shot a pig It's not ironic for it to turn into bacon. That's exactly what I would expect.
Also, just think about if I ran around to farms shooting pigs, think about how horrifying that would be. Think about how awful it would be to see a pig get shot. And then think about how bacon's not funny anymore. I just realized that my game has ironic bacon in it.
Oh, shit. Who's next up to pitch?
It's Griffin.
Griffin.
I'll take that that ironic bacon transition. My game is Super Monday Night Combat from Uber Entertainment. It is a MOBA-style game. It is competitive, multiplayer, 5-on-5. It is the sequel to Monday Night Combat, which I'm sure the three of you played. It's a class-based shooter where the main game mode is you have to take down the other team's money ball, which you do by basically pushing lanes like you do in League of Legends and Dota 2. You push lanes with these AI-controlled bots that your team can spawn. And you have to protect your bots while they're moving towards the enemy's headquarters. And then once they get there, they take down the money ball, and then the rest of the team can take it down. So you have to defend your AI guys while also attacking their real guys. And there's a lot of depth to it. There's a lot of classes and things to unlock. You're constantly earning gold and EXP with which you can buy new characters to play with that sort of slot into these different archetypes. And it's really, really well improved over the original one. The matches I played in have been really, really well balanced. There were a few exploits in the last game, at least on XBLA, that they couldn't fix because updating things on XBLA is apparently a chore. Yeah, and it's free to play. All of the purchasable things are stuff like experience point boosts, gold boosts, and new outfits. So you're not like buying new weapons to be stronger and better than everybody else. So the value really has been insane, and it's really easy to just jump in and figure out how to play. And there's private matches, and I think I haven't played with any people that I know, but I think with like playing on a team with five people that you know, it would be a really, really compelling team-based shooter.
I have a question.
Please go. Oh,
good timing.
I know.
What is MOBA?
MOBA stands for Mobile Online Battle Action. I don't know what it stands for. It's Why a genre of game. MOBAs? It's that League of Legends style.
Dota.
Isn't that Dota?
We're trying to say Dota.
No.
MOBA is like the non-trademarked version of Dota.
So it goes Momo. There's Dojo, Mojo, Momo, Domo.
Multiplayer online battle arena.
Yeah.
I think it sounds really interesting, but like, there's kind of like a problem with like the financial strategy of the game, right?
What do you mean?
Like, you can only play it one day a week.
No, what?
Monday nights, right?
Oh my god. Plant, you're fired.
Who let my grandpa on the show?
Like, we're going to have to come up with some sort of punch card system for Plant, where every time he does something awful on an episode, and if he gets 12 holes, then we shoot him 12 times. We literally put 12 holes in him.
So I have a genuine question.
Okay,
so
please frustrate. Obviously, please.
People like the first game.
Yeah.
You didn't go into really, apart from like it being free and on the PC, what precisely has been changed?
So the biggest thing is players are a lot harder to kill, which I think is fantastic because nothing is more frustrating to me in a shooter than just like spawning, walking 3 feet, and just getting shot once and dying. So it relies a lot more on teamwork, because unless you get like jumped by the entire other team, you're not just gonna fall over and die. There's plenty of chances to help out other people. So there's a lot more strategy. The classes are a lot more refined, and there's just a lot more variety. So there's five different archetypes, which are like the main classes that you play as, and then each of those classes has different pros, who are the characters that you can play as, and each one has their own strategy inside of those classes. So there's just a lot more stuff here, which is I think pretty amazing considering it is so much freer.
And there's a chicken.
There's a giant chicken that is like the what was that guy's name? Jackpot? Bullseye? I don't know. The big guy that you shot and money came out of him, there is also a chicken. that you can shoot.
I think you should have led with the chicken.
Sorry, there's a giant chicken that you can shoot. So my game also allows you to just totally massacre farm animals, which I guess is a theme on this week's show.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, no joke, it's a really,
now,
really
Griffin,
good game.
What,
and it's,
something
yeah.
screwy happened with the release. What's the deal there?
Yeah, that. So, like, they didn't announce... They sent out a wave of beta invites. I've been trying to figure out what happened. But they released a wave of beta invites, and apparently something went kind of weird. Something went screwy, so they were just like, ah, screw it. And they just released it, and now it's on Steam.
Wow.
And it's free. Yeah, which is... I played it at PAX East, and it seemed pretty done. So, like, I don't think this was... I'm sure it was a surprise for them, but I don't think it
did
was.
Did they, like, inform the world that... Because, honestly, I didn't know it was out until you told me this morning.
Oh, well, it's okay. Maybe you read about it on Polygon.com. Maybe you read about it on Polygon. Maybe like, logged on to Polygon and just like, hey, let's look at the news. Let's look at the day's events. Let's especially see what Griffin's written, because his posts are so illuminating.
I was looking at some funny GIFs.
All right.
They didn't mention anything about
it
coming out.
It's okay. You just do this for a living.
Did anybody do anything interesting this week? Anything fun happen?
Griffin had a birthday.
Griffin, it was your special day.
I turned 25 years old.
How's that feel? Did you go? What happens? Insurance? Rent a car?
Your insurance gets better. You can rent a car. You can drink absinthe. You need a special license for that. It's like the most dangerous of all alcohol, I think.
Yeah.
Do you have to take a class before you can get the license?
You have to take an absinthe drinking class, yeah. You got to learn all about, you know, melting the sugar and making sure that you get the worm out and, like, just safety things, you know.
Now, how old do you have to be before you can hunt the homeless first boy?
That is 36 years old. So 35, you can run for president. And then if that doesn't work out, it's pretty much just homeless hunting. From there on.
But that's just amateur at 36. You can go pro at 40.
Right. Well, you can go pro at 36, but you're not going to get signed. It's like you're not going to get many pro football players that didn't go to college, you know.
So if I have been hunting the homeless at the age of 31, that if someone were to
you
be hunting
you
the homeless,
should not say it on this podcast.
I need to make a call. If you'll excuse
this
me.
This is really, why are we talking about this?
About hunting the homeless for sport?
Yeah, That's awful.
I thought that was the plot of Monday Night Combat. Is that not it?
Have you played...
One team is the homeless, and the other one is hunting the homeless for sport.
Have you played... It's not surviving the game. Although that would be fantastic.
Trademark. TM the Besties 2012.
I would play surviving the game if it was free to play.
The rapper?
No.
What are you
on about?
The game.
Hmm?
He's a guy.
Yes, I was talking about surviving rapper. You got me.
I started going to physical therapy.
Oh, this sounds funny.
Yeah. What? Is it you just want to increase your vertical leap? Is this
not bionic therapy?
I have really bad back problems, and the woman, she was like, "Tell me when this hurts," and I was like, "It hurts." And she's like, I just...
Was she just it. Shaking your hand?
She was literally
time?
Just putting her fingers on my back.
You're on the phone.
And right she's like, now. No, this doesn't hurt. And I was like, no, it hurts really bad. And she's like, only a 60-year-old man would have a back so tense that this would hurt that bad.
But didn't they tell you that after several instances of physical therapy, you'll actually gain 2 inches? So you'll actually be taller than 5 feet?
They did say that. But it's going to take a lot longer because, like, they can't even start stretching me out. They can't put me on the racks because my back hurts
is there
so
really
bad.
Is a rack really involved?
I don't... Well,
I think Afghanistan is. I don't know.
At the beginning of each session, I put my hands behind my head. I'm lying on my back, right? And I put my hands behind my head, and I grab onto the bed, the whatever I'm laying on.
Keep going.
Can we add some
music? Yeah, you got this? And then the 4.5-foot Indian practitioner woman grabs me by my ankles.
Oh, don't
She falls backwards. She just basically lets her body weight just shift off of her feet, and then she just pulls me. And it feels like my entire body is just shattering.
How clothed are you when this is happening?
I'm wearing gym shorts and a t-shirt.
Oh, man. We're going to have to put the explicit tag on this
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, this sounds...
This is covered by your insurance?
Yeah, and then she does that, and then I like, do all these new stretches that I'm learning, which hurt. And then I get covered in ice.
How much do you cry? Give me a rough estimate of how much time you spend crying.
I don't cry until the ice, because what happens is I loosen up, and then they put the ice on my body, and it feels like my entire body is just shriveling into, like, a giant date.
There is somebody listening to this show that everything you just said is a fetish. And if it wasn't before, it is now. There is somebody now who can't.
You just awaken something in them. Something
you just woke up the dragon inside of somebody who can no longer get a boner until they're being twisted by a 4.5 foot tall Indian woman and then dumped in ice.
And then picturing Chris Plant's gym shorts.
I don't think that's a different thing altogether.
That's a different part of it.
What are you doing in there, sweetie? Oh, I'm planting. Go away. Why do you have so many gym shorts? I washed like 10 pairs of gym shorts today.
Why do we have 5 freezers?
Why do we have 5 freezers and 10 gym shorts?
Why are you in 3 of them? This is not cool. Chris Plant.
Yeah?
I know. You already told me about your dumb game.
Tell me about your game, Justin.
I'm trying to forget it. I want to hear about Russ.
I'm supposed to go.
I want to hear about Russ Frustick's game.
He's got a squirrel, which is in the same genus as pigs, I believe.
Okay, are you ready, Justin? You're going to start the clock?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
What can a motorcycle do?
Oh, God.
No.
You can save a nuclear plant from exploding. Save a haunted house from being haunted.
What is...
Save World War II from happening. Exploding Hitler. Motorcycle can. Motorcycle.
What?
My game this week is Trials Evolution.
You can't just... Is that a song from the promotional material, or did you write
that?
No,
I penned that myself, actually.
Did you actually write it down before you came this week?
Yeah.
How much time did you spend in the shower?
Guys, it's called being prepared for a podcast that's supposed to entertain and inform.
Is it music?
And none of you do that.
Music and lyrics, rights reserved, Russ Frustick.
Yeah.
So to prove that you have actually prepared this song, if I were to say, ask you to sing the exact same song again, exactly as you sang it before, you could accommodate
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Please, but for Christ's sake, please don't.
No, I would really like to hear it again, actually.
motorcycle shooting in the sun.
It's already.
Sky Town.
No, it's already different.
Sky Town,
already,
I do not believe
Sky
Town
was
an
not
appearance.
An entry. Sorry. You are
wheels.
Coming up.
Okay.
30 seconds left.
I didn't write it down. Oh, okay. So Trials Evolution, great game. Very similar gameplay-wise to the last one, but they made it much more involved with the environments. There's, like, all sorts of, like, crazy scripted stuff that happens as you're, like, cruising through the maps. Like, as I mentioned, a nuclear power plant exploding, or, like, you're, like, cruising through, like, a haunted house, and there's, like, traps going off all around you. So it's visually much more interesting. But in addition to that, and Griffin, I think you're going to love this part because I know how much you love in-game editors. There's an in-game editor. And it's very full-featured. You can make your own maps, but you can also, like, create entirely non-motorcycle-related challenges. I don't know why you'd do that. Motorcycles are awesome, but if you wanted to. You could do, like, a Marble Madness, like, third-person puzzle game if you want. Like, the editor, you can do some crazy stuff in there. And there's very fun multiplayer that sort of like feels like Excitebike, and it's great. I absolutely really dug this game.
Can I ask why they didn't just make a new Marble Madness game?
No, but that's only like if you want to make a Marble Madness, you
and
can.
Oh God, I do. Well, I want to play one is the thing. So if they would have just like cut out the middleman. You know what I mean?
Well, but here you get two games instead of just one game.
I guess my question is, why isn't this game Marble Madness 2 HD Edition?
That does sound pretty appealing.
Still rolling.
Here's the thing, though. This game is really good. Didn't you hear the song?
Are you beating lots of people's times, I bet? You're kind of
Oh, my God. I'm crushing the world's times. Ben Gutierrez times, crushed.
Anybody else you want to call out specifically?
Shots fired.
President Obama.
No.
You probably should not say shots fired.
Yeah. Well, no, I was saying I beat his times.
Right.
It's like for those that love Trials HD, and I know there are many of you because it's like one of the best selling games on XBLA. This is every part an evolution of that. And you know how I know it's an evolution? Because it's right there in the title.
I'm going to set your whole life on fire.
It's a great game.
No, I see a problem, and I want to point it out.
Okay.
Trials HD has a mystery buried within the game that is yet to be solved.
This better not be a pun.
No,
really. There's a real mystery. Buried in the backgrounds of all the stages are little clues, like symbols and numbers, historic pictures. It all means something, but we don't know yet. I think maybe it's a little too soon for Trials Evolution.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Have you played Trials? Are you a fan?
A little bit.
I feel like you came.
Are you
unprepared.
Schizophrenic?
No, this is a real thing. The guy who designed Trials HD, he is like obsessed with code, like codes, like secret riddles.
Yeah.
And his big riddle has not been solved. Who knows what it could say? There could be a message in Trials HD that actually could solve the problem in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Maybe it leads you to a ruby scarab that he's hidden somewhere.
I wouldn't say maybe. I'd say probably.
I would say definitely, certainly.
Maybe the only way to solve the codex is with Trials Evolution.
Maybe. That's possible.
We can't count that out.
Can't count that out, but can't prove it.
Did you stumble across any mysteries?
I did. I found a squirrel. Remember I mentioned the squirrel earlier?
Did he tell you a horrible secret?
He told me to do things. Some of it was like really weird. I didn't know why he was telling me these things. So I sort of mostly ignored it. But the last thing he told me was pretty interesting.
Now, Russ, listen to me. You did nothing wrong. Okay. You did nothing wrong. I just want you to show me on the doll where the squirrel touched you.
Well, he didn't touch me.
Well, who did he touch, Russ?
He told me not to say.
Russ.
Russ is listen. You can clearly have studied at the Say Yes school. Yes and of improvisation. So Russ.
I was building a scenario there. It's okay. This is only episode, what, 9? Eventually we're going to build the kind of
relationship. It's some other number.
Don't worry, guys. I signed up Russ for classes at UCB.
Okay.
He's going to be going twice a week.
Yeah. Yeah. He's level 6 at the Improv Olympics, so I'm looking forward to...
He just thinks that, that his audition at SNL is, maybe a year away. So he's got to spend some time in Chicago, small.
He's got to get his money right. He's got a lease right now. It's got to run out, and then he'll be out there with Lauren and Chris Farley.
They're totally going to let him intern at the front desk.
Mm-hmm. By the way, guys, 12 p.m. Saturday, the Ha Ha Hut in Cleveland, Ohio.
Real quick, what's the name of your troop, Russ?
The Squibbles.
Okay, see, you don't even... You're so bad at improv, you can't even improvise a name for your fake improv troop.
At least he didn't insist that he did not have a fake improv troop.
Yeah.
No, I don't have one. Nope. I don't have a troop.
Say yes.
Say yes. Yes and. Okay, so speaking of improv, actually, this is a decent segue. I want to talk about my game. It's called Box Haunted, BXX. Haunted. You can find it at bxxweb.com. It is a really crazy 32-hour long non-linear story. It was shot over the course of 2 days consecutively in a house that is rigged with 16 different cameras. There's 6 actors that lived out this 32-hour long story of 6 ghost hunters, basically, that are trying to unearth the mysteries of this house that's about to be demolished. When you log on, you can put the slider at any point in the story. You're actually encouraged to do that. Skip to any moment, open as many different cameras for that particular scene as you want to, and then watch them all play out. All told, there's about 550 hours of footage to comb through. And there are things that you unlock as you watch certain scenes, court records, diary entries, video testimony that the participants give to the police after tragedy strikes their little operation. But they, it's not a situation where they want you to keep the spoilers secret. They're asking people to, you know, share when they find cool stuff because, you know, all throughout they've hidden hauntings or ghosts materializing or things going awry. And if you spot one of those things, especially in a scene that doesn't have a lot of people in it, you know, where otherwise people might have stopped watching, you may be the first person to have seen it other than the people who made it. So it's a really interesting way of telling a story, and you can really sink a lot of time into it.
Okay. So after finishing this 33-hour-long full-motion video game...
Whoa. Video game is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But
32... No. 32... There are certain scenes, certain, like, key scenes that you can find where if you watch these certain key scenes, then you'll unlock other stuff, sort of like hidden things throughout the...
So when you finish this 32-hour-long full-motion video game, you have the option to dip in and find more hours of video to watch after the 32...
It's not 32. It's really more like 550 because it's shot from 16 different cameras.
So you finish this 550-hour-long full-motion video game. Oops. Uh-huh. You're 86 years old, and then you say, I beat it, and you can't finish the word it because you die because all of your organs shut down because you played this game for 80 years.
Yes.
Is my math right on that? 550 hours, carry it, add the minutes.
Most people will be 83 years by the time they finish it.
Okay.
No, fantastic. I mean, it's not designed to be watched in you know, to sit down and watch. It's a non-linear story.
That's great because that's exactly what I'm going to do.
What?
Is not sit down and watch it.
You can watch certain scenes. I thought that we agreed we were going to stop ragging on each other until we were pitting all our games against each other. I thought we were going to get into engaged discussion.
No. Yeah, you're very right. Justin.
This is this hugely ambitious, interesting thing, and the best Griffin has to say about it is that it's
long. It takes
long.
80 years to
Hi, Xenoblade Chronicles? Go shove it up your penis.
Justin.
Yeah.
Serious question.
Like, okay.
No ragging.
Thank
serious
you.
Serious question. So I was... watching this video on YouTube of a panda sneezing and a baby.
I don't think this is going to react. Guys, just real quick, I don't think this is going to be a serious question.
would you call that a game?
Did it have unlockables?
Yes.
Did it have a non-linear story?
Yes.
Here's the thing, Frustick. Here's the thing. You go to the game store, you look at the shelves, there's Monopoly, there's Sorry, there's Operation, and then you see the 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle of the Eiffel Tower. Is that a game? Well, maybe not. But where the hell else are you going to put it?
You walk further down the store shelf. You see Lars and the Real Girl on DVD. You say, boy, I sure would like to watch that 225 times.
You're
cashier,
missing the point.
I will take... Can I have this one?
This is so unprecedented. There's not a podcast about this. There's not a podcast for this thing.
All right.
No, I've got a genuine question.
Okay.
So, I mean, obviously this is not... like what many would consider a game. So where do you think, how do you think this sort of fits in?
It's hard because it's definitely one of those where the game is, I would almost like say emergent, as lame as that sounds, because it really is about like how into piecing this together you get. I mean, piecing together your understanding of it. It's hard because the non-linear nature of it sort of lends itself to feeling like a game, which are designed for branching narratives and stuff, but it doesn't really comfortably fit under any umbrella. And I think that they might have had some trouble getting much traction with it because of that, because it's so hard. It's not a movie. It's, you know, 550 frigging hours of content. So it's like, it's not a movie. It's not a TV show. And it's, I guess, not in the strictest sense a game there, but there are, you know, things you can unlock and things you can piece together.
That sounds game-like.
Yeah, I mean, it's game-like. There's just no goal, really.
How many
points?
Not
like a... There's 17 points you can get. No, there's
For 550 hours?
I know. You only get one point. There are points you can get. It's just like... There are no points, but
okay. I got a question.
There are things you can unlock. Yeah.
Here's my question. I would like to try this. About like how much time do I need to invest up front so I can like really get into this? Because it sounds so daunting.
Well, here's what they suggest is what the creator Daniel Knopf suggests, and he's the same guy who did. I don't know if you guys ever saw Carnival on HBO.
Yeah.
He's a creator of that show, and he created this. He suggests that just watching 10 scenes at random, and hopefully that, at least the way it played out for me was I watched 10 scenes at random, and then I saw certain threads that I wanted to sort of unearth the beginnings of. Sort of like, why was this going on, or why had this started happening, or what was this sort of character's, and then you look for specific things that you, like I skipped to midnight at a few of the places because I thought that might have been a time when things would start popping off.
You know what it sounds like is Sleep No More, which is a theater on in the city, right in New York City right now, where you can sort of follow your own story. And many people have described it as feeling very game-like because you're almost just sort of an observer of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't think either are really
it
games.
Sounds
but that's
if like if, to me it sounds kind of like if Night Trap was approximately 500 times longer than Night Trap.
And you can't save anybody, you just have to watch as they die. It's like a metaphor.
I think that's appropriate though, because if there is one person who I think could play Night Trap for 500 hours, it is you. Justin McElroy.
I get scared. The augurs that come for
the
me.
The augurs look like vamps. They'll drink all your blood out.
I think we should decide who winner is.
What's the best game this week? Since mine is not strictly a game, I will willingly pull it from contention.
Okay, Justin recuses himself from
I would say it sounds like Super Monday Night Combat sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Your game is called Hambo.
I'm voting against Hambo.
There's
I think we can get
no
rid of Hambo.
Pork butts about it.
Did you
we can
just...
definitely get it rid of it now. Like, that's it. Let me give a last ditch attempt because Trials
Please
Evolution is
just like two more verses to the motorbike song.
Wait, I'm writing it right.
I can hear the gears a turning.
What can a motorcycle do?
I got that.
You can fight a Shadow of the Colossus.
Do you really?
You can play a level that looks like Limbo. You can play a level that looks like Explosion. Wait, man.
Are you writing while you're doing this? I think are you
sometimes
writing?
You are, but sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're just ragdoll.
If you
and then you're a marble.
If you guys vote for Super Monday Night Combat, I promise I will never sing on the show.
I'm really torn right now.
That song's really awesome.
That song is awesome, but Super Monday Night Combat looks really fun.
Well, the name of the show is Who Can Come Up With the Best Song About Their Game? Whose Line Is It Anyway? 2.
Yes, and that is why I am voting for Trials Evolution.
I can't believe it.
Yes, and...
I gotta switch.
Justin!
I gotta switch my vote. I really like the song.
What are you doing?
I really enjoy it, and I'm hoping
Super Monday Night Combat! It's got balls and it's got bacon. Everybody knows the score. Don't sleep on this game. It's got 5 different character types.
It reads a little desperate now.
Everything.
You're reaching. I think.
Everybody vote for Super Monday Night.
Griffin.
What day is it? It's Monday,
Griffin,
and it's shooting time.
You're embarrassing yourself. You listen, Russ is going to help you workshop it.
I'm going to help you break out. I'm going to give you your chance, Griffin. We're going to tour.
He'll be like
open.
I
Colonel Tom.
This is not
Colonel
important.
Tom Parker.
I would like to allow you to sing a song about Journey to decide whether it remains the champion.
No.
You're not gonna do that for me?
No, I'm shaking with anger right now.
You know, I'm gonna go ahead and say Trials Evolution might beat Journey because you end World War II on the back of a motorcycle?
I'm going to say that you are missing a big opportunity by ignoring the mystery.
Yeah. That was in the last game.
It could be in this game, too.
That we cannot award an award like this based on the theoretical possibility of an unsolvable mystery embedded somewhere within it.
But I think you should acknowledge that, like, World War II was won by this lone motorcycle rider. And there's
Wait, what proof of that do you have?
What?
What proof of that do you have?
Great Escape.
Didn't you hear the song?
I mean, you're singing it. Doesn't will it into existence?
There's a level two of
Russ Frustick dies. Russ Frustick falls out of a window of a tall building. Oops! Now he's dead.
Frustick. I don't think we have a really good case for trials.
No, that's okay, fine. If you if you now, hate the Jews and you thought World War II should have continued
on.
If I don't want to be accused of anti-Semitism, so I guess I could go either way here. I think Trials, everybody talking about Trials has really enjoyed it. I don't know if it's if we move away from our, aside from our like goofy reasoning, if we look at like real world actual reasoning, is this a better game than Journey? My only knock against it is that it sounds so iterative. I'm sure it's very cool. It just
it
sounds...
is very iterative. Yeah, that's fine. Journey can win.
God damn it. Thank you everyone for listening to our show. Thanks for sitting on the edge of your seat as you wait to see which game will win our fake award. And we hope you'll join us next week when something's going to be the best new game of the year. And make sure you tune in next Friday for Besties. Because should the world's best friends decide the world's best games? Steve!